Shall we turn back to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 25. For he must reign until he put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that is annulled is death. For he has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says that all things are put in subjection, it is evident that it is except him who put all things in subjection to him. But when all things have been brought into subjection to him, then the Son also himself shall be placed in subjection to him who put all things in subjection to him, that God may be all in all. The book of Revelation 21. The latter clause of verse 3. Rather, read the whole verse. I heard a loud voice out of the heavens saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall tabernacle with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, their God, and he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall not exist any more, nor grief, nor cry, nor distress shall exist any more, for the former things have passed away. And behold, and he said, that he that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. These are very precious scriptures in connection with what we had today. And I trust that the Spirit of God will leave a little impression upon my heart and yours. Because as we talk about eternal matters, they're weighty. They're weighty, they're eternal. They cannot be spoken of in regard to being exhausted in time, for they're eternal. If you notice in Scripture, there are very few scriptures that speak of eternity. Very few. We've got a ton load of scriptures about the millennial. We've got scriptures relating to the present day in which we find ourselves. But when it comes to eternity, there's a matter of brevity in the Word of God. There must be a reason why. Because eternity is going to be a matter of what is experienced. We're going to get there. And it will take all eternity to experience eternity. One songwriter says, after a million years have passed in that glorious place, the song of praise would just have begun. Can you imagine? What a scene. Where there will be no end to the experience of being at home with God. God all and in all. We talked about death being annulled. In the death of Christ, Satan's power has been put down. But you know, death still has its activity among us. It took a dear young brother from among you not too long ago. We all felt it very keenly, the pain of it. But it is a vehicle, a vessel to transport us from here to the presence of the Lord. Yes, we weep. We feel it. But it looks forward, as we've been looking at today, to the matter of resurrection. When, as we closed, death will be swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, show me your sting. Where is it? Oh, grave, show me your victory. No wonder, as I mentioned earlier this morning, that Shammah was so concerned about defending the truth of resurrection against the Philistines that he stood up as the troop was gathered there around the plot of lentil. He defended it. Oh, that as we leave here today, there might be an urgency, a sense of renewed vigor and energy to defend, or rather to hold steadfastly to the truths that were opened up to us, the truth of resurrection. Because if it's lost, then we are, as all men, most miserable. Then our hopes are in vain. But we stand this evening, this afternoon, in the blessed realization that all that Christ has done has absolutely changed the picture for us. We leave here with the prospect of glory. That when we are moved from here, we are being moved into a scene of glory where Christ is, but we are also being moved in conditions of glory. Bodies of glory. We can't take it, can we? Because we know these human, frail bodies of ours that are constantly under decay, and we feel it very keenly. Every day I wake up, there is a new ache, and I'm sure it's the same with you. But in the body of glory, like that of the Lord Jesus, there will be an eternal scene of bliss. Brethren, this is exciting. You know the world knows nothing about this. This is our little secret. This is our secret, exclusive to us. So I read, as a contingent to what we read in verses 55, 56, 57, I read verse 25 down. Because what is happening is that the close of the scene, this present scene, is brought before us where death ceases to be. I like to think of it this way. Death has died. Death has died. Can you imagine? This terror that has terrorized us from the moment Eve gave in to the serpent up to today, and who knows how much longer, has terrorized us that it is going to die. Yes, it is. But he first must reign. God is going to set him up in this very scene where he has been rejected, set at naught, despised, condemned to die, to bear the suffering of man, and then to bear the suffering of God concerning sin. In this scene, God is going to establish his kingdom. God says, man has despised you on earth. In the very earth where you are despised, I will establish you, I will inaugurate you in power and glory for 1,000 years. And dare anything lift up its ugly heel against him and against his authority, he will subjugate it. That is his purpose for 1,000 years, to subjugate everything, so that we read in Philippians that every knee is going to bow. and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And when he's finished, he's going to wrap up the kingdom finally and hand it back to God the Father, so that God might be all and in all. He's going to finalize everything here, put things right. He's going to put the books, as it were, that have been in the red because of man's sinfulness and man's rebellion to God. He's going to put things in order, and he's going to hand the kingdom as complete to God. What a resolve for God. What a resolve for the Lord Jesus. And then it says, he himself now, as Son of Man, takes a subjected place to God the Father, that God might be all and in all. So then I want to tie in Revelation. So if that's what's going to happen, what is the eternal scene like from Revelation? Here we read it. It says, God himself is going to tabernacle with men. Wow. God is going to tabernacle with men. God is going to find in eternal state a condition of things. He's going to bring in a condition of things that will be absolutely suited to himself. What a scene. What a scene of glory. Where sin no more will ever be able to enter. It will be no longer in existence. Nothing of an abnormal character will enter the eternal scenes of God. And God will rest eternally in the blessedness of everything that represents himself. What a scene of glory. The human mind and heart cannot conceive. Because all that you and I know is what? Death, tears, grief, cry, distress. That's what we know. This is a whole picture of the present scene in which we live. All of the abnormalities of life are sort of capsuled in this expression. Every tear, death, grief, cry, and distress. You wonder why the Lord Jesus, at the grave of Lazarus, the shortest verse in Scripture, Jesus wept. You wonder why? The enormity of the effects of sin. He grappled with it at the grave of Lazarus and was overcome with grief. It says he wept. It didn't say he cried. It didn't say he dropped a tear or two. It said he wept. The intensity of that moment at the grave of Lazarus, even though he knew he was going to go into death to annul its power, and even though he knew that there was going to be an eternal state where death would be completely wiped out, he knew that. But he felt it very keenly, the tremendous effects of death. And so he wept. But in the eternal state, God is tabernacling with men in conditions of suitability to himself. What a scene of glory. Beloved, are we waiting for it? We felt today as though we were in an atmosphere of elevation. I think of the elevation that Mary enjoyed after she heard the news from the angel Gabriel. It said she wended her way to Elizabeth in the hill country. And at your leisure, read that. It is one of the most precious portions of scripture, the communication that transpired between Mary and Elizabeth. It's an elevated atmosphere. It's the hill country. It's above the valley. It's elevated to the point where she was in the very presence of God. I think we had that today, beloved. Elevated into the very presence of divine persons in relation to the things that have been opened up to us. That's the impress. It's what will we do with it? What will we do with it? May the Lord encourage our hearts that in the matter of what is eternal, God is going to be all and in all. What a scene of glory. God all and in all. And everything there, beloved, that you will know of God the Father, everything that you will know of God the Son, everything you'll know of God the Spirit will be known in a blessed man who will never change his manhood conditions. He's taken it with him into glory, and it will be there for all eternity. And the song of praise, which has now begun, will climax there. May our hearts be encouraged as we think of the fact of all things being made new, a new heaven, a new earth, in which righteousness will dwell eternally for his name's sake. Amen.